beautiful font. But Jesus Revealed is what we want to talk about this morning on this Easter morning. Grab your Bibles if you have them, either electronic or paper Bibles, and we're going to talk about Jesus Revealed this morning. And this may be a little bit different before you message than you've heard before, but I want to go ahead and say something to you right now, something I've been praying about for this Sunday that God has put on my heart to pray for us and what He wants to do. Because as we talk about Easter, or as we talk about Resurrection Sunday, which is what we often say, sometimes people who would never go to church at any other Sunday, remember we call them CEOs, right? Christmas and Easter only, right? CEOs, they come on these two Sundays. We've got a lot of CEOs in churches. They will come on this come this Sunday, which is one of the reasons I said invite your friends, invite people who wouldn't normally come. God can reach people anytime and anywhere. But many people celebrate or remember Easter or Resurrection Sunday only as a historical event. They look back, oh, on this day, 2,000 or so years ago, Jesus was raised from the dead, and they look back as something historical. But what I want to remind us of this morning is that we are not celebrating, we're not commemorating an anniversary of a historical event only, if you want to think about it that way. We are remembering and celebrating again today that our Jesus is raised from the dead and is alive in our lives and is still working miracles and changing lives and healing people and setting people free and shining light in darkness and demons being cast out. You say, woo, yes, demons be all of these things today, today. And so this morning, I want to talk about Jesus Revealed, and here's my prayer that the Holy Spirit put in my heart, that as we're looking at God's Word today, and as we are receiving the message that He put on my heart to share with us, that Jesus will be revealed to you today, today, this morning, during this service, throughout this day, and in the times ahead, because Jesus is still alive. And my prayer has been that Jesus will be revealed to you. And as we're going to see, as we look at the Word of God, Jesus reveals Himself in so many different ways. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be mostly looking in the Gospel of John, John 20 and 21, then a few other things as well. But I want you to think with me. So if you're joining us online, we're so glad you're joining us online. You won't hear all the responses, but here in the church, we'll be hearing them as well. First of all, I want to ask you some questions about Resurrection Sunday itself, the first day of the week, as it says in the Word of God. And I want you to think about some of the appearances of Jesus, or the revelations of Jesus, or when Jesus was revealed on the first day that He rose from the dead. Do you remember some of them? What are some ones that you recall? Anybody? There's no trick question. You know the answer to this. Okay, to Mary, okay, in the garden, right? Okay, Mary Magdalene, and then to the other women too as well, right? Okay, and that's first in my notes, okay? Somebody else? No trick question. The Jesus revealed on that first day. Who else? Who? Okay, to the soldiers who fainted, okay? But we're not going to talk about them. but them also. Okay, who else? Glenda. Okay, on the Emmaus Road, two disciples that we never even met until that day. Cleopas was one of them, and then one other unnamed that we will meet in heaven one day, which to me is such a reminder that there's so many disciples of Jesus that are that we do not know and who do not know us, but we'll meet them in heaven one day. Amen? Okay, who else? Someone else? You don't want to make eye contact with me. You're afraid I'll call on you like I did on Glenda. That night, behind closed doors. all the disciples, right? In the Bible, it calls them the 12, but in fact, that night, there were not 12, were there? Judas had already gone out and hanged himself, and Thomas, the doubter, was not there, but it's still there called the 12. So I want us to look at some of these. Now, we know that after this, in the days after this, Jesus revealed himself several more times, but I want us to look, first of all, this morning, let's look at Mary, at how Jesus revealed himself to Mary. And I want you to think about this, because maybe you have read the accounts of that first day. It's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we sometimes think, Jesus showed himself, Jesus revealed, Jesus appeared. But make no mistake, as we look at this, Jesus chose to whom he was appearing. Jesus chose how he revealed himself. Jesus determined what he was going to say and when he was going to say it. So there's nothing random here. Everything that was done with a reason, with a purpose, and in a particular way. And I think it helps us to know why. Because I want to go ahead and ask you this question this morning. How has Jesus in the past revealed himself to you? So I think most of you here this morning have a relationship with Jesus already. So I want to ask you this question. When Jesus began to reveal himself to you, how did he do it? Because we're all very, very different, right? For some of you, you may have thought about church, and then you started seeing things. For some of you, you may have been at work, and you saw this person at work who was so different, whose life was not like other people's lives, or it may have been a neighbor. That's how Steve talks about the revelation of Jesus to him. And Jesus reveals himself in many ways. To some of you, you may have been reading scripture, and suddenly the scripture came alive. Some of you, as we hear sometimes, have dreams and visions. This is very common in the Muslim world, isn't it? Jesus reveals himself. Some of you were in darkness. Some of you were in bondage. You may have been a drug addict or addicted to alcohol, or you may have been in bondage mentally or in some other way. And Jesus revealed himself to you by setting you free. And you realized he is who he says he is. And then beyond that, there have been other revelations as well. So as we think about this, I want you to think about how Jesus has shown you himself before now, and then he's going to show himself again to us today. Let's start with Mary. Mary was standing. This is Mary Magdalene. Okay? So since this is Mary Magdalene, what else do you know about her? How many demons did she have? Seven. She had seven demons. Jesus had cast the demons out of her. Okay? And so this is the resurrection morning. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and she looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. And she says, "They have taken away the body of my Lord, and I don't know where he is. They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." I want you to think about something here that you may not have thought about before. Here's Mary. She looks in. There are two angels sitting in the tomb. She doesn't care about the angels, does she? The only thing she cares about is where have they put the body of Jesus? How many of you would get really excited about two angels in white robes? Woo-hoo-hoo! Two angels in white robes. I'm not trying to make fun. I sort of am, I guess. But what I want us to see is this. Here's this woman. She already knew about the supernatural. She'd had seven demons in her. So the supernatural and things like that, that was nothing new to her. She's not excited about two angels. Do you know why? Because she's more interested in Jesus. And there are people in the church world today and in the religious world today that can get all worked up about all sorts of things and forget that Jesus is the center of it all. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the revelation that we need to see. Jesus is the one who needs to come into our lives and make a difference. And Mary doesn't care that there are two angels. Mary's looking for the body of Jesus. So she turned to leave and she saw someone standing there. And it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. In her grief and in her sorrow, she doesn't recognize Jesus. She doesn't see Jesus. She doesn't hear his voice and know that it's Jesus. There are a lot of reasons for it. If we were just to sit down and talk about it, we might say all sorts of things. But may I make an application for us this morning? How many of you, in your times of deepest sorrow, in your times of deepest grief and broken hearts, have failed to recognize the presence and the voice of Jesus there with you? Has that ever happened to you before? I think it has happened to all of us at times when we go through sorrow and trouble that's so overwhelming, all we can see is our sorrow. All we can feel is what we're going through, and we cannot see that Jesus is there. To me, and this is not our main point today, but this is what a beautiful reminder for you and for me this Resurrection Sunday, that in your deepest sorrow, when you cannot see anything because your eyes are blinded by tears, the resurrected Jesus, the risen Jesus, is there with you. What a beautiful picture, what a beautiful reminder. And she says, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. And she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which in Hebrew means teacher. But it's more than just, oh, a teacher. It's a personal expression. And in that moment, the words of Jesus, not just the words of Jesus, but the voice of Jesus pierces her problems, pierces her trouble, and she sees that Jesus is there with her. I pray this morning that some of you who are facing great difficulties, who are facing answers that you cannot solve, who are very much like Mary, you can't look beyond your present circumstances to believe that there might be hope, because it feels hopeless to you this morning, right? I know I'm talking to some of you this morning, that you might have and hear the words of Jesus and the voice of Jesus revealed to you in your situation, revealed to you in your sadness, and hear him calling your name, not somebody else's name, but your name this morning. This is the Jesus who was resurrected. When we look at this revelation of Jesus, I want to remind you, this is the first person to whom Jesus reveals himself. It's Mary Magdalene. And I think it's so beautiful because there is nothing of religion in this first revelation. There is nothing of duty. There is nothing of work. What could Mary Magdalene do for Jesus? She had a horrible past and a terrible life. What could she do except love him? And that's what she did. That's what she did. It is no wonder that this is the first to whom Jesus reveals himself. And this expression, and we know what happens after this. What happens after this is she just grabs him. How inappropriate, right, for a woman to touch a man in that situation. And she may have fallen at his feet and grabbed his legs. We don't know all of the details. But she held on to him. And her response to Jesus, because when Jesus reveals himself, we also are revealed, aren't we? we also, our hearts are seen also. And what is revealed from Mary is just, it's a heart of love and devotion because of what he has done for her. He has transformed her life. She hasn't walked around for 3 years with Jesus. She hasn't been given authority to go out and perform miracles as the other disciples have. She has not walked on water. She has not perhaps been with Jesus as he broke the bread and performed the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. She was not with him in the garden as he prayed. She was not in the upper room with the disciples. And yet, to this woman who had been delivered and whose life had been transformed, Jesus reveals himself first. Let that speak to you this morning. May Jesus reveal his love to you. And if your response is a response of love and, oh, Jesus, and devotion for what he has done for you and to you, that honors our risen Lord on this day. Amen. 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 She's not worried about the authorities and the leaders. She was only brokenhearted until the resurrected Jesus appeared. And so this first appearance is about devotion and love. That's what I see. There's much more here as well, but this is what I see. And then shortly after this, let's look at another appearance that some of you mentioned already. And this is on the road to Emmaus. And so as they talked and discussed these things, I think I didn't include the verse. Let me read the verse for you. Mark 16:12. Then after this, so this is not in Luke, but in very briefly, Mark 16:12 says, then after this, he appeared in a different form to two of them walking on their way into the country. Now, we could say a lot about it, but what I want us just to look at is this. Jesus now reveals himself in another way, in a different way. And so that makes me start thinking about Jesus is appearing in different ways, right? Jesus is revealing himself. Jesus is showing himself differently to different people, differently in different circumstances. And that encourages me because that reminds me that Jesus knows who I am. Jesus knows what I need. Jesus knows my language. Jesus knows my situation. And he's never a general Jesus. He's always a personal Jesus. Amen. And so he appears in a different form. That word form means shape or nature. I don't really know what that means. Was his resurrection body different than what it was before? Maybe. We don't know. I think we'll find out more when we get to heaven. So here are these two walking along the road to Emmaus. Emmaus was about 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and they're discussing all of these things. What things are they discussing? They're discussing the death of Jesus, but they're also discussing Mary Magdalene and the women who came running and they've said, we have seen the Lord. The tomb is empty. That was part of it. And these disciples are trying to wrap their head around that. How can that be? We saw him die on the cross. We saw the blood pour out. We saw the spear go into his side. We saw the nails tearing the flesh of his hands and his legs. How can he be alive? How can this be? So this is what they're talking about. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus is doing something. God is doing something here that's a little bit different. So my question is this. Why are they kept from recognizing him? Now, Mary's was different. She was weeping, and in her sorrow, she couldn't imagine or see that Jesus could be there. But this looks a little bit different, right? And so Jesus walks up. I like to think of Jesus coming up behind them. And let's see what happens next. And he begins talking, and he says, what you talking about? You know, when somebody overhears your conversation and says, what you talking about? And they say, haven't you heard? And they tell him a few things. And then Jesus says, why are you so slow to learn? Now, look with me at what happens next. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So what is Jesus doing now? Jesus is revealing himself through scripture. Jesus is revealing himself through the word. May I say something to you? If you say, I don't really know what God is like, I pray but I don't feel anything, I think about it but I don't really have any ideas, my heart is not stirred, I want to ask you something. Have you gone to the word of God and on a regular, make it part of your life, go to the word of God and say, God, speak to me. Now, some of you pick up your Bibles and you read five verses, maybe, and then you go about, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Go to the word of God, and as you open it up, say, Holy Spirit, speak to me through your word. Reveal Jesus to me through your word. Talk to me about my life. Give me direction for what I need today, and then see how Jesus reveals himself to you. So in this picture, we see that Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Then they go into the village, they sit down to eat. Chapter 24 of Luke, verse 30 through 32. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. Oh, doesn't that sound familiar? Gave thanks, broke it, began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So here's this other revelation of Jesus on the day that he was resurrected. He could have said, look, it is I am Jesus, I have risen from the dead. But to these disciples instead, he takes the written word of God that we often find so dull and dry and dusty, and in it, he opens it up. Listen, if you find the word of God dull and dry and dusty, ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life into the word of God and watch what happens as it comes alive in your life and in your heart and the difference it will make. That's what this word of God, it has come to. The word has been given to us as a foundation for our faith to reveal God to us, to reveal Jesus to us. Come to the word of God. So these two previously unknown disciples, Jesus reveals himself through scripture. Did you ever think about that before? Isn't that a little bit unusual? There's Jesus himself. He has risen from the dead. He could have so easily opened their eyes and said, look, it is I. Instead, he chooses to come through the written word that is hundreds of years old at this point and to show himself, to reveal himself. They jump up. And they immediately returned to Jerusalem. They returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has certainly been raised and has appeared to Peter. Nope, I didn't do that. Behave. Did somebody back there do that? Maybe. Hang on. Let's go back to here. The Lord has certainly been raised and has appeared to Peter. Stop right there. You all didn't mention this one, but I want you to think about this one just a minute. Where in the scripture is it described the encounter between Jesus and Peter? Where in scripture is it shown? Where's the conversation? Where was it? When did Jesus meet Peter? How did Jesus meet Peter? What revelation did Jesus give to Peter about himself when he appeared to Peter? That's a question. Have you thought about that before? We read it in Luke, and years later, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:5, Paul says Jesus appeared to Peter. Where are the words? Where's the conversation? Almost everything else is recorded. Why isn't this recorded? Did it happen or not? Yes or no? Yes. Why isn't it recorded? Do you know what I think? I believe that what Jesus and Peter had to talk about and what Jesus showed himself in the life of Peter and what Peter said to Jesus was for no one else except Jesus and Peter. because Peter had betrayed Jesus so horribly, so terribly, so publicly, with an oath. First of all, I swear, I put my hand on the Bible. No, I don't know this man. And then with a different type of oath, a curse. No, I don't know this man. And that was in the small courtyard. And Jesus had turned around. Maybe it was just 30 or 40 yards wide, maybe even smaller than this area. Jesus had turned around and looked at Peter. Imagine that. Imagine being Peter, knowing that those were the last words your Master Jesus heard you say before he went to the cross and took your sins. What would you feel like? What would your heart be? What I want to say is this morning. I believe there is nothing recorded about Peter and Jesus is because it was private. It was nobody's business except Peter and Jesus. There are some things in your life. There are some things that we publicly confess. There are some things that we publicly deal with. But there are some things that are between you and Jesus alone. It's nobody else's business. Jesus will never shame you. Jesus will never gossip about you. It's between you and Jesus. It's for no one else. And that's all we know about this meeting that Jesus has with Peter. That encourages me because there are some things I don't want anybody to know about. Yeah? I don't want anybody to know about it. It's between me. It's between Jesus and me. And then while they're still talking, here comes the final one. And then just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? He said. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. It's very graphic, isn't it? Look at this. This is very serious, but in a way this is sort of humorous too, isn't it? Look at what happens next. They stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. And Jesus is probably looking at them thinking, they haven't gotten it yet. It hasn't clicked yet. So what does he say next? Have you got something to eat? Is it because Jesus is hungry? I don't think so. I don't think so. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Look at verse 33. This is a funny verse, y'all. It really is. And he ate it as they watched. Where's the fish going to go? What's going to happen next? I'm not trying to make light of this incredible resurrection revelation, but it is funny because the disciples are like, what? And I think Jesus appears in this way because this group right here are going to be the ones who are going to carry forth the gospel and say, Jesus was risen from the dead. We saw him. We touched him. He ate a piece of fish. We saw his hands. It was real. He's not a spirit. Because see, shortly after that, heresy began in the church. Oh, he wasn't really resurrected in the body. His body stayed dead, but his spirit came back to life. Listen, brothers and sisters, if the body of Jesus stayed dead and only his spirit came back to life, you and I are in trouble, and we don't have much hope for the future. But the Bible is very clear. Because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Your body will be changed. Your body will be different. My body will be changed. My body will be different. And it will be a body like his. That means fish would not be my first choice, but I could eat fish. But it also means I can walk through a wall. Oh, but who cares about walking through a wall? What matters is I will have the body that God has intended for me to have. A body beyond the reach of sin, beyond the reach of death, beyond the reach of suffering. It will be a new body, a resurrected body that goes beyond anything that death and sin and Satan can touch. That's why they had to know he was resurrected in the body. This is the hope that we have. Paul says, if we only believe for this life, what hope is there? And so Jesus shows them, look, I'm real. You need to know this morning. Listen, you need to know that Jesus is real. This is not a religion. This is not an idea. It's not, oh, a good thought. It makes me feel better. Was it Marx? I can't remember now. Was it Marx or Lenin who said, religion is the opiate or the drug of the masses? Was it Marx or Lenin? Marx. It was Karl Marx that said that. In other words, here, take it. It's like a drug. It'll make you feel better. No, it won't. Religion, Jesus is truth. And you need to know he's real. He's real. And he's in your life. And he's in my life. And he's a risen Savior. And Jesus appears to them. Now, let's switch gears just a little bit as we look at this last part. So here are these first this first day, there are other revelations as well, but John doesn't end there. And I want you to think about this. I always, whenever Easter comes, I always read all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, repeatedly. I read all of them several times just to be reminded of the resurrection story, of the crucifixion story, of all the things that happened. And if you look in Matthew, there's one chapter, 20 verses. Of resurrection. If you look in Mark, there's one chapter, 20 verses. If you look at Luke, there's one chapter, 50-something verses. If you look at John, there are two chapters, not just one, two chapters, 55 verses. And one of those chapters, chapter 21, describes only one revelation of Jesus. So, click in your Bibles or turn in your Bibles to John 21, and let's finish up with John 21 this morning. And this is a wonderful, wonderful chapter for us that we're going to end with. So remember, every recorded appearance is specific and it is with purpose. So let's look at how John begins. After this, John 21, 1, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Sea of Tiberias? Galilee, okay? Gennesaret Lake, Galilee. Three names, one lake, okay? Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. All the same thing, where so much of the ministry of Jesus took place. And he revealed himself in this way. Now, what translation do you have there? I've used a very accurate translation here. And many of us, NIV, New Living Translation, it will say, after this Jesus appeared, right? He appeared. He showed himself. But I want us to understand something this morning. We need to get the full force of this word because this says Jesus revealed himself. And you know what that means? It means he manifested himself. He showed himself in a special way. Jesus doesn't just show up and say, here I am. What Jesus does is this. Here I am, and I want you to see this and understand this about me. It's not just, hey, here I am, but this is a manifestation, a revelation of who I am, my nature, my heart, my purpose, my words. Get the picture. Get me. And that's what this means. So John is very specific. He says, Jesus revealed himself again, and this is how he did it. So how did he do it? Let's look at it very, very quickly this morning. So he revealed himself. And so we expect suddenly a glorious, glorious picture. But we don't get a glorious picture. Do you know what we get? Instead, we get Simon Peter, my favorite disciple. You all know that, right? My favorite disciple. And I like him because he reminds me so much of us. We're pretty much like Simon Peter, most of us. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons. Who are Zebedee's sons? James and John, okay. Who's writing this gospel? John, okay, that's right. So John is part of, he just says Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples were together. So how many altogether? Seven of them, okay. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. We're coming with you, they told him, which reminds us of the character of Peter. He was a loudmouth, he was impulsive, he was hot-headed, all of these things, but Peter was also a leader. He really was. He was a natural leader, and we see that among the disciples. And it's implied, I'm going fishing, who's going with me? That's really what it means, what is implied here. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Why did they go out in the boat? Why did they go fishing? Jesus had said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Some people say this is horrible. Some people say it's just practical. They have to eat. Jesus isn't there. They don't know what to do next. They've got to feed their families, so they go out to fish. It may be a combination of any one of these things. But nevertheless, they didn't catch any fish. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Lads, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? How do they reply? How many of you are fishermen? How many of you are good fishermen? My dad was. And you know who else was? My grandmother. She'd get up at 3 in the morning. My dad's mom. She'd get up at 3 in the morning, put on long sleeves, and she'd go out in the swamps. I mean the swamps. Like snakes, turtles, alligators, you name it. Poisonous snakes, not just like snakes. Poisonous snakes. And she'd go out way back in the swamps, and she'd go fishing. I don't really know a better fisherwoman than my grandmother, and my dad got it from his mother. Very often in the later years, Dad would get up early in the morning. He didn't go back in the swamps, but he'd go get his, not a fishing pole, not a cane pole, but a rod and a reel, you know, the ones that you cast. And he'd go out and stand along the edge of the lake in front of our house in the U.S., and he'd catch fish, and then he'd bring them back in. He wanted them for breakfast. That was not Mom's favorite, but he wanted them for breakfast. He was. It wouldn't be my choice. It wouldn't be my choice, but it was Dad's choice. Dad always caught, almost always he caught something. But look at this picture. I think this is humorous again. Lads, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? What did they say? How do you think they said it? No. No. I don't think they were very happy about it. They'd fished all night, and somebody asked them, how many fish? You haven't caught any, have you? Nope. They don't want to talk about it. No fish. And so we look at what happens next. Cast your net. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. Therefore, the disciple, the one that Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Now stop there for just a minute, because remember, John just wrote right here that Jesus chose to manifest himself this way, and John gives a whole chapter to it. It's a whole chapter, and he describes this. Why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus show himself in this way right near the end, just not a long time before he's getting ready to go to heaven? Why would Jesus do this? Think about this. And so he says, cast your nets over on this side. Now, you should start thinking of things right now. Are you thinking of other things right now? You should be. You should be. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer garment around him, for he was stripped. I don't think he was completely naked. He probably had like just a loincloth or something like that. And then he put on his outer garment. And then what does he do next? He jumps in the lake. Why would he put on clothes and then jump in the lake? Because you would never go to your rabbi or your master unclothed. And he plunged into the sea, but since they were not far from the land, about 100 yards, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. Why did Peter jump in the water? Seriously, why did Peter jump in the water at that minute? Was he thinking he was going to walk on water as he started to? At one point earlier, was he thinking, I'm going to beat John. John beat me to the tomb because he's younger and faster than I am, but I'm going to beat him in the water. I'm going to swim to the shore before he gets there. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I think this was an expression of Peter's heart because he's already met the Lord. He and Jesus have already been reconciled, and Peter jumps in the water and starts swimming as hard as he can. Do we have swimmers in church? I know we do, right? Caleb's a swimmer, right? So Caleb, if you're watching this morning, we're thinking about you. Caleb's a really good swimmer. And Peter goes swimming for shore. So pause right there. I want to remind you of something. I want to ask you about something this morning. Did something like this ever happen before in their lives? Let me ask you. Did it? Yes or no? Y'all are looking at me like I'm asking a strange question. You know the answer to that. Remember way back in Luke? Remember this? In Luke, Jesus gets in the boat. Whose boat does he get in? He gets in Simon Peter's boat. And then he says, pull out to the deep water, let down your nets. And Simon says, Master, we've fished all night. We've worked hard. We caught nothing, but at your word, I'll let it down. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. How does Peter respond the first time? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he says, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man, Lord. I want you to see something here this morning. The resurrected Jesus who has met with Peter and restored him. You and I, so often in our brokenness and our sinfulness, and actually this morning, if you do not yet have a relationship with Jesus, I'm really talking to you this morning, okay? But I'm also talking to you if you are struggling with some things in your life. In this first encounter, it's not the first, Jesus had been in his house right before this, but when Simon sees this revelation of Jesus, what does he do? He falls to his knees and he says, get away from me, get away from me. I'm sinful. But after the resurrection of Jesus, when Peter has seen the heart of Jesus and the love of Jesus who goes to Peter, who rejected him, who denied him, who betrayed him, and Jesus goes to him and restores him. This Peter, instead of running and saying, get away from me, get away from me, I'm sinful, I'm sinful. This Peter runs to Jesus. He swims to Jesus just as fast as he can. He goes for the one. He knows that he's holy, but he knows too that he is forgiven by the resurrected Jesus. This morning, listen, if you are far from God and you feel I am unworthy and my life is messed up and how could he accept me because I am sinful, I'm in church just because it's Easter, but really, get away from me, God. I'm a sinful person. You need to know that the risen Jesus went to the cross for you, took your sins on his body, paid the price for your sins so that this morning you don't have to run away from him and hide and say, I'm sinful, I'm sinful. Instead, you can run to him because he's the answer to your sins. He's the answer to your trouble. He's the answer to your sorrow. He's the answer to your hopelessness. Jesus is here in our midst. And Peter goes for him just as fast as he can go. You need to know that about Jesus this morning. You need to let him reveal himself to you in that way this morning. And Jesus says, don't worry. Follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I think Jesus reveals himself in this way near the end to remind them he is still the same Jesus. The miracle that he worked before, he works again. And remember what Jesus said? Apart from me, you can do nothing. What a reminder, right? Because these disciples are getting ready to go out and serve the Lord and work for him. And Jesus shows them very practically, very graphically in their lives, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. But at the word of Jesus, put your nets on the other side. They catch fish. They catch fish. What a wonder. There's so much more here, but we need to come to an end. And but let's just look at just these few things as we come to a close. They get out on land, and they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. Hey, it's daybreak. Where did those fish come from? Where did that bread come from? 7-Eleven is not open yet. The Cha Chan Tang is not yet open. He's the Lord of all creation, right? He's the Lord of all creation. By the way, if you and I were smart enough and educated enough to read Greek, do you know what you would read? You and I would read right there, a fish, a bread cake. That's what it means. That's what it is in the Greek. So you know what happens on the lake shore as Jesus serves them again? Oh, come and have breakfast, Jesus told them. They knew it was Jesus. He took the bread. He gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. It's another miracle of multiplication. It's one piece of bread. It's one piece of fish. And he fed them. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus wants them to know, I'm the same Jesus. I'm the resurrected Jesus in your life. I have not changed. There's much more here than we have time to go into this morning. But what I want to say as we come to a close this morning is this. The Jesus that you read about in this word, the Jesus that you hear about in every sermon, same Jesus. Same Jesus. Same Jesus in your life. Same Jesus in your life. I think there's the echo here. There's the echo of the five loaves and two fish because it was by the Sea of Galilee. I think also there's the echo of the Last Supper. Don't you think so? He took bread. He took the cup, and he gave it to them. It's all of these things. It's all of these things. And we close with this. They finish eating. They finish eating. And then after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Feed my lambs, Jesus told them. Let me ask you something. Pay attention right here as we come to a close. He asks him basically the same question again. Peter replies in the same way again. Now, there are changes in language, but we don't have time to go into that. Here's the main thing. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time. Why do you think Peter was grieved? Because he denied Jesus three times, right? Don't you think Peter was thinking, Jesus, I thought you and I took care of that privately when you met me on the first day. And now here you are. You're airing my dirty linen in front of everybody. How could you do this to me? Have you ever thought that? Maybe. I don't think Jesus was doing that at all because Jesus loved Simon Peter. And he knew that Simon Peter loved him. And Simon Peter says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. I want you to see something here this morning. When you fail and when you fall, the devil accuses you and says to you, you don't love God. You're such a bad Christian. How could God love you? And Peter says to Jesus, who knows everything, Master, you know that I love you. Your failure does not mean that you do not love Jesus. Don't let the enemy accuse you of that and believe that lie. Because Jesus does know everything. And how does Jesus end with this? There's more here, but we're going to stop with this. You know that I love you. And Jesus says to Simon Peter, feed my sheep. Your failure does not disqualify you from service to the Lord. Your weakness does not discount you from serving the Lord. And Jesus reinstates Peter. He's not shaming him. He's restoring him in the presence of the other disciples. Because the other disciples had heard Peter say, oh, Lord, even if they all fall away, not I, Lord, not I, Lord. They'd all heard proud Peter boast that. And they'd all heard, I'm sure, from John and from Peter, that Peter had denied the Lord. After all, who's the one writing this story? His best friend, John. His best friend, John. And John writes this. And Jesus publicly restores Peter. In front of them all, he says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. There is still useful service. There is still work for you. We are still in relationship. Jesus will leave no unfinished business in your life. If you'll let him, he's going to take care of it all because he wants you in fellowship with him. He wants you in partnership with him. He wants you in ministry and in service for Him. And if you have been disqualifying yourself because of your past and your weaknesses, it is time to let Jesus reveal Himself to you in this way. After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and He revealed Himself in this way. There's much more than that, but we got to stop here. So we're going to close in prayer this morning, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to invite you to ask the Lord if I think He's already been speaking to some of you and revealing Himself to you in some ways this morning. But I invite you, it's nobody else's business, I invite you this morning just to open your hands and open your heart and just say, Jesus, reveal Yourself to me. I know He has already revealed Himself to some of you about your situations this morning. And so this is the time for you to respond to Him this morning. But I also want to pray for anyone here this morning who says, I am a sinner. Get away from me, God. And Jesus says, no, come to me. Come to me and I'll take care of that sin. So let's just let the Lord speak to us and reveal Himself again to us this morning. Lord Jesus, here we are right now. Our hearts are open to You. Our hands are open to You. Lord, I believe You have been revealing Yourself to us and speaking to us this morning already in the time together. But God, I pray right now for anyone here this morning who feels they are far from You. They've not yet begun a relationship with You. They've looked on the outside and they've said, I'm not good enough. I'm too bad. I'm so much worse than all these other people who call themselves Christians. And to those of you who are like that, I invite you this morning to open your heart. And instead of saying, run away from me, God, I'm so sinful. Instead, I invite you this morning to say, Jesus, come in. I invite You in. Take my sins again. The sins that You took on the cross, take my sins this morning away from me, away from my life, and make me clean. Make me clean this morning. I receive Your cleaning. I receive Your cleansing. I take Your holiness that You bought on the cross for me. And I'm not going to run away from You. I'm going to run to You. I receive You, Jesus, this morning. Thank You. Thank You. For the rest of us, for others this morning, as Jesus has revealed Himself to you this morning, open your heart to Him. You are not disqualified from the work of God. Jesus is showing you that this morning. You are qualified because He restores you. You are qualified because He repairs you. You are qualified because He renews you. You are qualified because He takes the parts that are dead and makes them alive. For those of you that are facing horrible problems this morning that you cannot see beyond, just like Mary Magdalene, see this morning, hear this morning, Jesus, call Your name in your trouble and in your tears. Hear Him right now. Just hear Him in your heart right now. And just say to Him, Jesus, Master, and know that He is with you. And He brings hope into your situation, into your life. Thank You, Jesus, that this morning we are celebrating not something that just happened way back when, but Jesus, You reveal Yourself to us this day, this Resurrection Sunday, as the Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We receive You. Speak to us through Your word. Speak to us through other people's lives. Speak to us through the times of worship. Speak to us in these different ways. We open our hearts and we say yes to You. Lord, along with our impetuous brother Peter, we jump into the water and we just swim for You with everything that we've got. And we come to the table with You around that fire and we eat the bread miraculously and the fish miraculously. that you have provided and that you have prepared for us. Thank you for bringing us into fellowship with you. In the name of Jesus, in your name, we all pray. Amen. 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 Amen.